Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. This Sunday, the New England Revolution has a shot at a championship. They'll take on the LA Galaxy in Los Angeles in the Major League Soccer Cup final. The Revolution dispatched the New York Bulls last Sunday, allowing them to move on to the championship game. They've played in four MLS Cup games, but have never won it all, so will number five be the charm? Among those who'll be watching is our own Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. He joins us every Wednesday to talk about sports. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So, this has been an interesting season for the Revolution. They didn't always look like they were championship-bound, but they pulled it out.
Oh, you're absolutely right. At their worst this season, the Revs looked as bad as any bad team in the league, and at their best, they looked better than anybody else. Happily, they've hit that latter category at the right time. They're playing very well right now.
Yeah, this is the time. If you're going to play well, this would be the time to do it. So among the interesting stories about the Revolution is this hugely talented midfielder. I know you've spoken to him, Lee Wynn. He's a candidate for MVP. Tell us something about him.
Lee Wynn was born in Texas. He has dual citizenship in the U.S. and in Vietnam, and he's played his professional soccer all over the world, including in Vietnam, where he was celebrated as a hero. He was the first American to play professional soccer there. His career kind of stalled out, partly due to injuries a few years ago. He ended up in MLS. He was cut by one team, then picked up by the Revolution, and he is the happiest acquisition that they have ever made, with the exception, perhaps, of Jermaine Jones in the middle of this season, and it was the addition of Jermaine Jones which helped make Lee Wynn such an incredibly successful player. I'm always a little uncomfortable talking about MVPs. Lee Wynn is a candidate for MLS MVP. A little uncomfortable talking about MVPs in sports where teamwork is the whole point. Nobody is a great player without a lot of help in soccer from the men playing or women playing all around them.
Yeah, particularly true in soccer, isn't it? Now, the Revolution will take on the LA Galaxy in LA. Who has the edge?
Well, if you kind of go by the chalk, L.A. has the edge. As you mentioned, the Revolution has been to the MLS Cup final four times and lost each time. If Los Angeles wins this time around, it'll be their fifth cup on their mantelpiece. And, of course, Los Angeles also historically is they're not only the Galaxy, they're sort of Los Galacticos the way Real Madrid used to be. Mm-hmm. They tend to hire the superstars. David Beckham was there. Landon Donovan, of course, most people think he's the best player ever developed in the U.S.
And this is going to be Landon Donovan's last game.
It will be his last game. So he will either go out a champion if the Galaxy wins, or he will go out having just lost the championship and, of course, earlier this summer cut from the national team, did not get to play in the World Cup in Brazil.
All right. Well, that's the Revolution against the Galaxy on Sunday. So let's move on to a really interesting story about a sports pioneer that you'll be featuring on Only a Game this week. And you're going to be talking to author Andrew Marinus. He's written a book about Perry Wallace, the first African-American basketball player in the Southeastern Conference. He played for Vanderbilt in the 1960s. So tell us something about him.
Right. Back in 67, when Vanderbilt had only been recently integrated and most of the schools in the Southeastern Conference still were not, and he was certainly not welcome when he went to play at places like Mississippi. He's a very interesting fellow. At one point, he talked a little bit about how he was much more comfortable in the gym and with his basketball teammates than he was on the Vanderbilt campus in general.
Because the players and the coaches, I felt, acted in a very decent, civil manner with me. You think of how negative they could have been and how much more hellish my life would have been had they rejected me as a fellow teammate, or had they engaged in games, large and small, to discourage me.
Mm. So what kind of challenges did he face off the court?
Well, precisely what you would have expected. There were a lot of people at Vanderbilt and a lot of people at the other schools Vanderbilt played who just didn't think he should be there. There were professors who called black students names when they showed up in class the first day, and this was in 1967. I think it's also important to point out that Mr. Wallace went on to go to Columbia Law School, served in the Justice Department for some years, and is now a professor of law at American University. So he has not only succeeded as a pioneer at Vanderbilt some decades ago, but has made quite a life for himself since.
You know, I was reading just a little bit about him in preparation for this little talk with you, and I came across this startling fact that following his freshman year, the NCAA instituted the Lou Alcindor rule.
Which could have been called the Perry Wallace rule, right? Because it was his signature move as well, the dunk.
So this deprived him essentially of his signature move, the dunk. Right.
And his high school team, Pearl High School, they had a routine where before games, every player on the team would go through what used to be called a layup drill. For them, it was a dunk drill. And the players on the other side of the court, their jaws would hang open. And basically, Pearl High would win before the game began.
All right. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, as always, thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.